Well, home, we're our biggest Sunday this year. Of course, it's only February. 754 of you are here today, not in this room, but in three services now. So we're packed. We appreciate those who are watching via satellite in the next room, on that screen over there. Appreciate their patience with us and willingness to sit over there. And I always say that Greg and I are better on television than we are live. Everybody doing okay? I got a couple things, more than a couple. Actually, you wished it was only a couple to say to you this morning. Research done lately, interesting research. I don't know what it means. It's kind of nebulous, but nonetheless, it's interesting. Research done recently about the most commonly used phrases on the internet. And some of these are going to surprise you, but I have one, or not going to surprise you, I should say. I have one I think is going to really surprise you. Looking at all the search engines, all the... I'm going brighter and darker and running into the light. All the search engines, all the social media, websites and different things, and it probably seems ridiculous, but interesting conclusions that they found. Like I said, some of these are not going to surprise you. The most common phrases they found on the internet, just simple, just the number of times they show up. Like us on Facebook. Do you know why they say that? Because every time the business gets you to, you've gone to their website and you've liked them on Facebook, they get a double hit. And every time one of your friends also clicks like or goes to their website, they get a double hit, and it raises their status on the, as the rank, if you will, on the website ahead of those that are all doing the same thing they're doing. And so they want you to like them on Facebook for that reason. That's one of the most common phrases. Not surprising. Also, nor this one. Join the conversation if you're part of social media, part of chat rooms, other things. This is sort of fading out to a degree because they don't have to be told to join. People typically just join in, but it is still ranking one of the highest ranking ones. Another one, this one's real common, isn't it? You use that one all the time. The answer is yes, isn't it? I have forgotten. Now I've got to remember to get into my email to be able to get the password that you sent to me. And now one that's on the rise and soon to eclipse the others is ask me any question. It's a enjoining of Siri, or if you have a PC, this is a statement you're seeing. iPad, phone, laptop, computer, these smart machines are asking questions or actually offering an answer to you. And they do know a lot of stuff, don't they? It's amazing the kind of things we have at our fingertips. So these are some of the most common phrases that you find on the internet. The interesting phrase that I'm going to put up here in just a second, though, is by far the greatest phrase on the internet. In fact, the other ones are not even on the same, the second place is not even on the same page with the first place one. The first place one may surprise you and it may not surprise you, but this is the most common phrase today on the internet. That is market research. That is the most common phrase. There are several things I want to say about this. First of all, it surprises you because y'all are all nice people. And you don't say stuff like this, do you? But you're also honest people in that you will agree with me that you've thought about saying this, haven't you? Seems more recently that I think more often of using that. But I don't do it because it's not nice, and communicating over written in words is not a good way to communicate, even though we're becoming more and more like that, more apt to be misinterpreted. I didn't really mean the way you took it, but I guess... You know, there's something else about this phrase, if you'll notice the spelling. Any English? And the rest of you just demonstrated why this phrase is true about you. This actually is incorrect spelling. That should be a U-R or a contraction U-Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, should it not, if it were correct English. But actually, the way it's written there is the correct phrase as far as the most common phrase by far on the internet. That's exactly the way it's spelled. Of course, spelled as such, if you typed it, means that this spelling is nothing but a mirror that you're looking into. Isn't that right? So let me just start this morning by just simply saying this in the kindest way I possibly can. you're an idiot. And I say that because of what we're studying. We're studying being wise and being foolish. And actually, we don't use the word fool. Anybody use the word fool? If I said you're a fool on the internet, I'd probably get that phrase back to me. Because it's not common. We don't use the word fool anymore. We've basically replaced our language evolving, right? We basically replaced the word fool with idiot. And so I want to replace that this morning. I'm not trying to offend anyone. But I think you'll agree with me that according to the Bible, if you will, replacing fool with idiot, that we're all idiots by inheritance, aren't we? We all inherited a sin nature. We're all idiots by choice in some cases because we've chosen to sin. We're all idiots because of the fall, because of the fall of man. And hopefully we're not idiots though on a continual basis by choice. And so what I want to do this morning, we started last time by looking at this topic of acquiring wisdom. And we're going to continue in that vein by looking today, at least to begin with, the Bible categorizes as the idiots who are that by choice. I hope you're not one of those. Born an idiot, yes, but hopefully not remaining. Hopefully you're going the other direction. Hopefully you're lowering the idiot ratio in your life, the idiot rating in your life. You're going away from being an idiot and going toward wisdom. And that's part of the reason why we're talking about this and looking at the book of Proverbs. So the Bible gives us several categories of those that the Bible calls idiots. The Bible says an idiot is a person who does not believe in God. Would you agree with that? Not necessarily that you do it for your own sake, but the Bible actually flat out says it. The fool, it says in his heart, there is no God. It goes on to say the reason why, and I didn't give you the rest of the verses 3 and 4, 2 through 3, I should say, talks about why. The reason why they say there is no God is because they truly, it says, because they just want to do their own thing. Nobody has say over my life. I don't answer to anybody, so it's much more convenient for me to be an atheist than to have to answer and think that I'm just going to die and I'm going to be just like my dog. You'll hear him say this. I'm just going to pass away and the dust returns to dust and it's all going to be over and I don't have to answer to anybody. And that person, guys, the Bible says, is an idiot. Idiot by choice. There was an atheist who was on Loch Ness up in northern Scotland. He was paddling his rowboat, having a good time, enjoying the cool weather. Beautiful scenery, gorgeous water, and then all of a sudden, next to his boat, comes to the surface the Loch Ness Monster. He can't believe it. He begins to row frantically toward the shore, rowing, sweating, screaming, hollering, scared to death of this thing. This thing is gaining on him. He knows it's obvious he's not going to get away, so he throws his paddles down, he raises his hands toward heaven and says, God, please help me! And instantly he hears a voice from heaven that says, I thought you didn't believe in me. And his answer was, yeah, and I didn't believe in the Loch Ness Monster just 2 seconds ago. Here's what you need to know about atheism. It is only temporary. Even if it lasts the rest of their lives, with pray to God that it doesn't. But an atheist is only a temporary condition. Because hell will be full of lots of sinners. But among those former atheists, atheists no more though. Because they will know God, I believe, they will know God at least theologically, they will know Him as well as a person in heaven. They will know all the things they shouldn't have done. All the things they should have done or shouldn't have done about their lives. They will know the truth about who God is, and they will not be atheists anymore to be certain. It's only a temporary condition, but the Bible says a person who says there is no God is a fool. They're an idiot. Now, the second thing, the Bible says a person is an idiot is someone who mocks God. Literally, they stick their finger in the face of God. They're not afraid of God. They're not afraid. They don't take God seriously. Here's another psalmist, 74, verse 18. Remember how the enemy has mocked you, Lord. Who would do such a thing? An idiot. How foolish people have reviled your name. It takes an idiot. It takes a real fool to stick their finger in the face of God. It's worse, in my opinion, and it's not my universe and it's not my heaven, but if I were God, I'm much more offended by the person who knows who I am and sticks their finger in my face than I am in a person who just doesn't think I exist. Now, again, maybe God doesn't feel that way, and I can't prove that through scriptures. Just where I fall on things, and you can take that for whatever it's worth. But saying that you know that there's a God and having no fear of Him, not taking Him seriously, that's extremely offensive. Recognize this guy? Probably not. He's a guy by the name of Tancredo Neves. Tancredo Neves in the 80s was running for presidency of Brazil. Brazil is a big country, almost the same size as continental United States. He's running for president in Brazil in the 80s, and all indications were that he was going to win. Polls showing that he was going to win, indicating factors all showing he's going to win. He reaches near the end of the election on election night, and it's sure enough, it's every exit poll demonstrates that he's going to win. And he becomes so full of himself, so excited about the potential of becoming president, so certain that he's going to be president, that he makes a statement and says effectively that not even God could remove him from the presidency now. You shouldn't have said that. So guess what happens? He becomes president. But on the day before he's inaugurated, he gets sick and dies. Don't poke your finger in the face of God. Don't do it. Similar statement was made, if you'll recall, the story of the Titanic. When the Titanic was launched, one of the unknown, even though some people say they know who it is, it's actually unknown, employee that helped build the Titanic said these words, "Not even God himself could sink her." And what happened? See, it's an idiot that says, mocks God, pokes their finger in the face of God, to be certain. The Bible says also, number three, that a prideful person is an idiot. A prideful person is a fool. Proverbs 14:3. A fool's mouth lashes out with pride. You don't have to stand around long to know who a fool is, because he'll be the first one to speak most often than not. He's going to tell you how wonderful he is. He's going to tell you how great he is. He's going to tell you why you should listen to him, because he's smart and you're not. Prideful speaking, but the lips of a wise person protect them. Wise people typically keep their mouth shut. Typically they do. Person that rattles on, oh well, it probably demonstrates what's happening in their minds. They're probably prideful about what's going on between their ears, and the scripture says that person is an idiot. John Wayne, I think, put it best when he said, "Life is hard, but it's harder if you're stupid." If you just won't learn, right? You just like to hear your lips flap. Well, it's going to be harder for you. So a fourth thing now. The Bible says someone is an idiot who is easily angered. Know anybody? Ben, anybody? Come on, we're not lying to each other in here. It's all sinners in here, right? In the presence of God. The Bible says an idiot, a fool, is someone who's easily angered. You can mark them. Proverbs 12:16. A fool's anger is known at once. They got a right to vent. They got a right to tell you their opinion. They got a right to get in your face. Bible says that's an idiot. Bible says that's an idiot. That's a fool. But a prudent man conceals dishonor. Okay, he's ticked. Okay, he's been dishonored, but he knows you don't fly off the handle. He knows that God has the final answer. He knows that God is overseeing things, and he trusts God more than he trusts his own opinion, more than he trusts his own emotions. So be careful. You'll know them by the way they act. Bible says a person easily angered is a fool. Also, number five, the Bible says a fool is someone who refuses to learn from instruction and discipline. It's like kryptonite to Superman. Instruction and discipline are not for them. Why? Because they already think they know, you see. That's why they're speaking out in pride, don't you know? Because they already learned everything they need to know. They don't need to talk to you about anything. They don't need to come to you about anything, because they are already smart. And so they despise instruction and discipline like Superman does kryptonite. No! Melting, you know, kind of thing. They're scared of it. Proverbs 1:7. We saw this last time, and we saw this first clause last time. The threshold that we have to cross to get in the house called wisdom is a threshold called the fear of God. Unless we have a healthy respect of who God is, and thus it limits the things that we do, the places we go, and the things that we say, and the way we act and think, then there's no chance of us having wisdom in our lives as we don't fear Him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, not the end of it, but it's where you start. But fools, it says, despise wisdom and instruction. Like I said, it's like kryptonite to them. They don't like it. And a sixth thing. And these are just six, and they're the big headings that we find in the Bible in general and in Proverbs in particular about what it says about the fool. There's smaller issues, but these are the big headings. The sixth thing, the Bible says a person is an idiot who can be an idiot can be recognized by his mouth. We've already seen that several times in these scriptures, but here's one more. An idiot can be recognized by his mouth. Fools find no pleasure in understanding, we've already seen that, but delight in airing their own opinions. Why? Because they have tons of confidence about what's running around between their ears. A wise person doesn't. A wise person knows they can be deceived. A wise person knows that they may not have it all right. A wise person knows that not everything runs through your head that you need to say, because it might hurt someone. Only say that which is able to build each other up, right? Scripture says that. A wise person does that. The mouth of fools, it says, on the other hand, are their undoing. Their lips are a snare to their very lives. This is how you're going to know them, among other reasons. So how do we not become idiots? Well, I've already told you it's too late. It's too late. You're born that way. Let me go over it one more time and see if you don't recognize a pattern here. God already told you what the Bible says is a fool, or the Bible says is an idiot. It says they're a mocker who despises boundaries and authority. They're easily angered. They're selfish. They refuse to learn from instruction and discipline, and they have no control over their mouth. That is a description of every single three-year-old on the planet, isn't it? Including you when you were three. We're born that way. You don't have to teach a kid to be bad. You don't have to teach a kid to be an idiot. They're born that way, and guess who they got it from? And you got it from your parents, and they got it from theirs, et cetera, all the way back to the fall. Like I said, we're born this way. So our it's not a matter of whether we're idiots or not. It's a matter of whether we want to come out of this or not. Do you want to come out of this? Well, there is some rules you need to follow. Do you want wisdom? It's an option. You can stay an idiot. In fact, you can add to it. But if you want to come out of this, you have to follow the rules the Scripture gives us. And we've seen several of those rules already. One of them in particular we looked at last time. How do we lower the idiot quotient, if you will, or the idiot rating in our lives? So number one, we need to pursue wisdom. We saw this last time. We need to pursue it. It's more important than any other pursuit of your life. You want that job? Great. You'd like to have a big windfall of money? Awesome. You want that relationship? Good. Those things are not in themselves necessarily bad. But if you're an idiot, when you get any of those things, how's it going to go? Better to be wise and have these things far better. And then once I get this job, then I'll handle it correctly according to the desires of God and the thinking of God, not thinking like myself, because I'm an idiot, I'll destroy it. I get this relationship I've been wanting, but now because I'm an idiot, I tear it up. Far better to pursue wisdom. And how do we pursue wisdom? We saw it last time in conclusion, remember? Getting on your knees. The knees before God are the place where wisdom starts. I go to God and I say, God, I don't know anything. I need your wisdom. Deliver me from myself. That's a great prayer for you to pray. We're going to see several verses here. We're not done this morning. I know you're awake. Come on, stick with me. Several verses about self-deception. There's no deception like self-deception. And how do you know when you're deceived? That's the whole nature of deception. You don't know. So you're sitting there thinking you're right, and maybe you're deceived, and there's no way to know. You say, Pastor Bill, you're preaching paranoia to us. And I would say, a little paranoia will go a long ways, yeah. A little, well, I might not have it right, will really help you, because that takes us to our next thing. Number one, pursue wisdom. That's how we lower the idiot rating in our lives. Number two, in the name of all that's wise and good, please do not ever think you're wise. Never let it cross your mind. But if it ever crosses your lips, it's been making a nest in your mind a long time ago. Never stop it where it starts. It starts in the head where you start thinking, listening to the devil. Hey, you know, I've got this thing. I got it by the tail. I got it figured out. I got it worked out. I'm doing great. People should be coming to me. I know how it works. You see somebody acting that way, you know what you're talking to, right? An idiot. All the way through the Scriptures, the Bible recommends strongly that you never think of yourself as wise. And it's not just a matter of I clear my head of that kind of stuff. No, it's a total attitude. God alone is wise. I'm not. If I have anything that's in me, it's from Him. It's nothing in me. I'm born an idiot. I'm a sinner. I'm undeserving of His grace, but here I stand. Those are great positions to hold. Do you see a person wise in their own eyes? Do you? Are you? Read the rest of it. There's more hope for a fool than for them. Fool is the way you're born. Starting at zero, right? Just a little idiot. 3-year-old idiot's what you were. All right, that's zero. All right, hopefully, as time and instruction came along, you began to gravitate toward that which was wise, and you began to come off a zero onto one or two, somewhere in the positive range. But a person that thinks they're wise already is not even at zero. They're in the negative somewhere, maybe way back there. They have to come up to get to zero. Zero is above them, you see. Better to be a zero, a fool, born fool, than to be a person who thinks they've got it. Says that in the Old Testament. Notice in the New Testament, almost in not so many words, the same thing. Do not deceive yourselves. Here we go. Self-deception. Self-deception. The Bible talks about it all the time. So is there a chance, if the Bible talks about it all the time, is there a chance that it could happen to you or to me? Take a wise word. A word to the wise is sufficient. Self-deception is more powerful than anything else. The devil doesn't even need to come to your house to deceive you because you're far better than he is. He takes his hat off in your presence because you so easily deceive yourself. I don't need to mess with her. She's a nutcase. She's better than anything I've ever seen. I wish she was one of my demons as much as she can talk herself into stupid stuff. Bad decisions. Do not deceive yourselves because there's a strong chance you could. So watch it. If you think you are wise by the standards of this age, you should become fools. Notice, you're already in the negative. You got to get up to zero to get into the positive. Become fools that you may become wise. You realize you got nothing. You realize you don't have it figured out. You realize you're a mess without God. That's where it starts. And then from there, you can make progress. So number one, pursue wisdom. Number two, don't ever think you're wise. Number three, go to the wise. Go to the wise. Again, another thing that is like kryptonite to a fool, to an idiot. Mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. They won't talk to wise people because it's like kryptonite to them. Why won't they? Because if they go to a wise person and that person is allowed to examine their lives, that wise person is going to tell them they're wrong. And they just can't handle that. Why? Because they're idiots. But guys, we all start off wrong. So we need a lot in our lives to help us be right, don't we? They avoid the wise because they think they've already got it figured out. They resent correction. So you've got to do the opposite of what a fool would do in order to become wise. You need to go to the wise. You need to find those people. We talked about it last time. What is a wise person? A wise person who is not a person who's able to spout information. A wise person is a person who demonstrates by the way that they live that they can live according to the principles of God as recorded in His Word. Not a person who can tell you, oh yeah, that's correct, but actually their life is total shambles. They may be a wise person today. They repented. They've gotten on their knees. They've called out to God. They're eliminating from their life these trying to get out of the negative range, at least up to zero, and maybe into the positive range. They're on a progression. But guys, up until yesterday, their life demonstrates that they're not wise. Why would you ever go to those people for advice? Oh, because they know all the right things to do because they've done all the wrong things. That's not a reason to go to them. Listen to me. They cannot give you what they do not have. If their life doesn't demonstrate wisdom, then they're not a person you need to be going to. Again, nothing against them. They're headed in the right direction. I hope you should be right along with them. Let me hold your hand, brother, sister. We're headed in the direction of wisdom. We're going to go the way God wants us to go. But, sorry, I'm not going to talk to you about how I should run my life. I need to find somebody wise. It's not me nor you. But you know people in your life who live this way. You know people who have the skill of living life God's way, which is the biblical definition of wisdom. The skill of living life God's way. And the way you can notice them, and you're going to add one more to that definition of just how do you know what they look like. Here's the way they look. Here's what a wise person looks like. Notice the fruit of the Spirit. That's very important you recognize the way the verse starts off. This is not the fruit of your hard labors. Not the fruit of your Bible study. You should study the Bible and you should work hard and you should be determined. Not a fruit of your determination. The fruit of the Spirit. In other words, this is a person who is so reserved, so turned themselves over to the Spirit of God that the Spirit of God is producing character qualities in their life. That's a wise person. And you're going to know them, not because they told you, because if they have to tell you, you automatically know that they're an idiot. The fruit of the Spirit, notice, are actions. They produce love, they produce joy, they produce peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You know people like this. So if you want to go to the wise, these are the people you need to talk to. And a lot of times, they're not the most vocal people in your life. Squeaky wheel gets the oil, right? Because that's the person that's, yeah. We've already seen the person that, yeah in your life is probably an idiot. They have a lot of confidence about what's running around in their head. You go to a person like this, and I probably most of the time they're going to say, you know what, I'm not really sure, but let's pray. I don't really know, but I know the King. I don't really understand. I'm a sheep just like you, but let's go to the shepherd, right? Why would they say stuff like that? Because they're wise. And this is a characteristic of their lives. And they've been living this way. And notice the results. There you go. That's the kind of thing you're after. But you're not going to produce it, right? You're only going to produce it as you submit, surrender to the Spirit. These are causes, or I should say, effects of the Spirit dominating a life. So I'm going to go to a person, when I'm looking for wise counsel, I'm going to go to a person who demonstrates that they're dominated by the Spirit of God. They demonstrate consistently that they've been dominated by the Spirit of God. Nobody's perfect, don't get me wrong. But they demonstrate consistently through their lives that they're dominated by the Spirit of God. People who consistently don't submit to the Spirit of God are not those you should be listening to. I'm not saying they're not a Christian. I'm not saying they're going to heaven. I'm not saying they may have had a wise spurt in their lives. But they don't demonstrate that they don't demonstrate these things. Again, since they don't do wisdom, which you have to do it, not just say it. Since they don't do wisdom, they can't give you wisdom. You shouldn't be going to those people. You love them. You pray for them. But you don't go to them. Which brings us to our final point. Pursuit of wisdom. How do I lower the idiot ratio in my life, the idiot rating in my life? Is I need to be very selective about my friends. Very selective about my friends. And I would include in the list of friends the stuff you watch on television, the stuff you listen to on the radio, the podcasts and all, including the pastor of your church. I mean, I would include all these. These are people that are influencing your life, aren't they? You need to be very careful about those people. Because they have a lot of power over you. Tons of power. The Bible says if you're not careful about those who have influence over your life, that you're an idiot. You're an idiot. Because people have so much influence over us. And so I need to be real careful about those who are in positions of influence in my life. It tells us this in Proverbs 13:20 and many other places. Walk with the wise. What happens? That's why I need to find those people, you see. But a companion of fools suffers harm. You will not be an exception to that. You will not be an exception to the Scriptures. Oh, my friends are idiots, but I'm heading the right way, Pastor Bill. Uh-huh. Yep, tell me who your friends are and what. I'll tell you who you are. Sorry. There's no exceptions to that. Your friends are all idiots, which means that you're... Yeah, because you weren't real careful about who your friends were. That's what it means. You got it in the Old Testament? There you go. Here's the New Testament. Do not be misled. There we go again. This whole self-deception thing. Apparently, it's possible for me to be deceived. Everybody good with that? Maybe you should say that to yourself. It's possible for me to be deceived. Maybe I've got this wrong. Maybe I'm not right about all these issues that I thought I was. Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. 100% of the time. Not sometimes. Not with certain. But I've been in the Bible all my life. I've been in church all my life. It's impossible for me to be misled. You just said you're an exception to what the Bible says there is no exception to. Be very careful. You're being misled by a simple statement. So what do we need to do with those people? Well, really it says unfriend them. Stay away from a fool. Very good advice. Stay away from a fool, for you will not find knowledge on their lips. They spout knowledge. They claim to have knowledge. And maybe what they know is more than what you know. But actually, because of the way they live, you don't want to talk to them because they're idiots. And you're going to turn into one if you hang around them very long. You just will. Now, it seems cruel to say, well, unfriend somebody, but let me put it to you this way. So I don't unfriend people who have unfriended God. Right? Wrong. They've unfriended God, but they're friends of mine? No. No. They don't listen to his counsel. They don't follow his advice. They don't walk in his guidance. They don't have his purpose. Isn't the purpose for their lives? Why should they be close friends of mine? Good question. Actually, the unfriending thing is sort of rough. The Bible doesn't necessarily recommend unfriending people, per se, in the strict sense. Of course, we're talking Facebook and stuff like that. Since we're talking Facebook, let me give you a recommendation. Unfriend on Facebook is one thing. It's unfriend personally is a totally different thing. I'm not saying don't be friendly to them. I'm not saying don't love them. Don't pray for them. Don't minister to them in need. But maybe a better term, we get it from Facebook also, is unfollow them. Unfollow them. You notice there's a button on Facebook that says follow so-and-so? Actually, when you friend someone and you notice all their stuff comes up on the screen, maybe some, like mine, I have stuff that I don't like coming up there. Videos and other things. Because I have friends, people I care about and I love, who are not the best influences. So I unfollow them. They can see my stuff because I'm awesome, right? But I can't see their stuff because their stuff drives me nuts. Their stuff isn't the influence of my life. Now, hopefully, I don't think I'm awesome, but I definitely know they're not. And so I unfollow them because wherever they're going, I don't want to go. See, why do I need to be careful about my friends? Because whoever your friends are is who you're following. It's you following them. And wherever they're headed with their idiocy is where you're headed. Well, like it or not. You're not careful about your friends. You're probably an idiot by choice. Another market research done recently by a guy named by the last name of Listrom. And he's a market researcher in the sense that he researches for the sake of marketing. And marketing, I don't know if you know what marketing is. Anybody got a marketing degree? Good, because I'm about to slam those guys. They're probably in the overflow, right? We bump them, make them live over there. A marketer is a person who researches how to trick you into buying something that you don't need. That's what a marketer is. Isn't that right? Tricks you into spending money that you don't have, buy stuff that you don't need for something that you don't want, right? That's what marketing is. Truly, if you look at what marketing is, they're trying to get into the human psyche and determine, how is it that people make decisions? How is it that you can influence them and get them to do stuff? Spend money, because that's the bottom line of marketing is we want to make money. Isn't that right? How do we get them to spend money and make us more wealthy and get them to feel like they're in the process making a good decision when in fact they're not? That's what marketing is. Well, this guy Listrom did a ton of research over many decades, and he wrote a book at the end of it after his retirement called Brainwashed. His conclusions are very interesting, actually very biblical in some respects. His conclusion was, and here's his own words, he says, "My research suggests that humans flock like sheep." Sound like the Bible to you, doesn't it? And birds. Now, humans have a relationship with each other in the same way that sheep have a relationship with each other and birds have a relationship with each other. Like sheep, because a sheep will go down a trail and go over a cliff, and the next sheep behind him, thinking, because they're dumb, that one knows what he's doing, will follow him right off the cliff. And then the one behind him thinks, well, I think she knows what she's doing. And they go off right behind him and they'll do a bunch of things they wouldn't have otherwise done except for the fact that they're sheep. And they're easily influenced. Also, birds in the same way. Have you ever noticed a flock of birds that be out in the field and they all, when they're scared, they all rise together? Why isn't it one following this one and this one? It's like they all instantly get the same cue. Boom. Or they're flying all one direction. Maybe 100 birds in the air in a big flock, and all of a sudden it's like they all get the same cue and whew, they turn around and go the other way. How do they do that? Well, it's a thing called they're influenced by others. They see one do it, they do it. They don't know whether it's the right direction. They don't know up is right or down is right or to the side is right. They're under this influence, this flock mentality. He says human beings have the same flock mentality. And he wrote this entire research and PhD and all this on all this. And he demonstrated it almost without refutation. What he did was he rented this gigantic meeting hall. And he hired people to come in for his research. And he would place groups of people inside this meeting hall, different numbers of people. And most of the people that he placed inside this meeting hall, the only instructions they got was, you cannot talk to anyone. You can walk anywhere you want to. Basically, you have no purpose. You just come in here. You can stand still. You can walk. You can go by the wall. You can go by the window. But we're going to stand here for 30 minutes or whatever the time was. But a few of the people in the group, let's say if he had 15, two people in the group, he would specifically tell them, you need to go stand here and count to 10. Go over by this window and count to 10. Go and look at this mirror and count to 10. Go by this table and count to 10. Go and pick up this piece of paper, count to 10, put it back down, go back to the wall and repeat it. Same thing he did with the bigger group, the 150. He would take 10 people out of that group, tell them the same thing. Everybody else was told, you have no purpose. You just can't talk to anyone. So without talking, they all stood in this room, but a handful of people, a small percentage, were given specific instructions. Guess what happened over time? Every time. The people who were not given specific instructions would start following those who had been because there was something about their psyche that says, maybe this person knows what's supposed to be done here. Unable to talk, just simply follow. Why are we that way? By the way, this is marketing is built upon this. That's how they get us to do stuff, because they know we'll follow somebody. Had somebody told me in the previous, last night actually, in a service up in Indiana, he had knew a guy that was a shoe salesman, and he had bought in the 70s this whole box full of psychedelic shoe strings. Hadn't sold any of them. He was going to really hurt over this purchase. He thought for sure these kids in the 70s are going to buy these psychedelic shoestrings. Nobody wanted them. So he had a daughter that was in high school. True story. He had a daughter that was in high school. And he says, I want you to go into high school tomorrow. I'm going to go in with you. And I want you to point out the five most popular people in the school. And he went and handed them, each one of them, a shoestring and paid them to wear the shoestrings. And within 1 week, he sold all his shoestrings. Why? People or sheep. They will follow someone, you and I follow someone, who we think knows what's happening. That's why if we're not careful with who our friends are, we're idiots. We're not careful, we're not selective with those who have influence, heart influence over us, because they have influence. Oh no, I'm the influencer in the relationship. I'm the one that decides what's going on. Well, then why didn't you walk away? Because there's something about them that's attractive to you, you see. We're dependent upon each other. So if I want to be wise, I have to be very careful about my friends. If I want to be wise, I have to go to the wise, find a person that demonstrates by the way that they live, that they can live, not just say it, not just tell me, but they can live the way God tells them to live. And then I need to not think that I'm wise, ever. And most importantly, constantly, I need to be on my knees saying, God, deliver me from myself. God, I can be deceived just like anyone else can be deceived. God, help me, deliver me from the darkness of in the deception that because it's deception, I can't see it. God, help me, give me wisdom. Help me to know the father, the husband. Help me to know the pastor. Help me to know the person, the son, the daughter, the friend, whatever it is that I'm supposed to be, that you're supposed to be. Help me, God. Help me. That's where it starts and ends. I want to ask if you would bow your heads and close your eyes with me. I wonder if we can't pursue wisdom together this morning. And you wouldn't be willing to pray with me a prayer that goes something like this. God, I don't know. God, I'm not wise, and I was born an idiot. And I can't get any better apart from your intervention in my life. I need you to give me wisdom to be the person I'm supposed to be in the short time that I have. I need you to help me to be attracted to those who are also wise instead of be attracted to those who are not wise. A companion of fools will come to harm. Those who walk with the wise will become wise, Lord. Help me to be attracted to those kind of people. Help me never to think that I've arrived. Never to think that I've got it figured out. Never to think that I'm wise and I'm above counseling, that I'm above being spoken to. But God, help me to humble myself so that I might become what you've called me to be. Thank you for the wisdom, God, that you offer to each one of us freely, without cause. I pray, God, that we would open our hands to it. Thank you for speaking to us today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.